Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Tom Ernesty, I have Mike Oliva with me on the other line. I won't ask how you're doing tonight, Mike. We know we've got a lot of talk about, but we're actually recording this after the Texans scored another touchdown. This game still hasn't been fully
not
completed.
Technically post-game, but it's over. There's still 7 minutes left, but Miami's down like 20 points. It's over, so we're starting this now because we have jobs in the morning. We got to get this over with.
Yeah, we do. I really don't know where to begin tonight with this game. I think really where it starts is the defense and how atrocious they've become. I mean, the first three games of the season, they were pretty good. The defense was, you know, top 15 defense. They played well for the most part, and then they go to New England, have a letdown, play a very good defensive game against Cincinnati, and the last 3 weeks against the Bears, the Lions, and now the Texans, this defense has just been torched left and right by anybody. What is the problem, and what is going on with the Dolphins defense?
And it's kind of surprising, too, because when you look at this team, most of the injuries have been on the offensive side of the ball. No Sitton, no Albert Wilson now. No Tannehill, no Kilgore, no A.J. Derby, no Marquise Gray. The majority of the injuries have been to the offense. And as bad as this game was tonight, the offense still found a way to put up 23 points, which isn't great, but, you know, it's not awful. I mean, you know, it's not awful. But the other side of the ball, which, you know, yes, they've lost guys like William Hayes. Unless Wake, he missed a couple weeks. And Bobby McCain missed a couple weeks. But for the most part, they've been relatively healthy and haven't suffered that, you know, major season-ending injury to anybody, of anybody of significance. Everybody, I mean, some guys have been hurt, but they've returned. But that is the side of the ball. Excuse me. That is an utter disarray right now. I have no idea. As Houston's about to run back a punt. No, they got tackled. I have no idea what's going on that side of the ball. The turnovers that they were causing early in the year have just stopped for the most part. The Miami Dolphins, who were, you know, pretty good against the run the first, you know, 6 weeks of the year, that has just totally turned the other way. They cannot stop a running back to save their life now. Teams are just running at will up the middle on the Miami Dolphins. That's a bad sign. And, you know, Matt Burke, you can make the case, fire him now, or fire him at the end of the year, whatever way you lean, either way, he's got to be out of a job. I mean, firing him now, yes, makes you feel good in the moment. Is that the smartest thing to do? I don't know, maybe. If you get rid of him, and I think if they do get rid of him, Gase will turn to his father-in-law, Joe Vitt, who is a special assistant. I forget his exact title with the Dolphins. He's not on the staff, but he's with the organization. He'll probably go to Joe Vitt, his father-in-law, hand him the reins. Whatever, it's not going to fix that much. It might fix some things. They don't got the players right now. The defensive line cannot get a sack to save its life. I don't know why. All the money they have invested, all the draft picks they have invested. Wake, I hate to say it, he's done, folks. If they have a chance to move him in the next however many days they got here, 5-6 days, whatever it is, trade him. I don't care if it's a 6th or 7th rounder. He ain't coming back next year. Not at what he makes anyways, and there's nothing left. He's a shell of his former self. Maybe the knee injury is affecting him some, but even at the start of the year, he wasn't playing that great when he was 100% healthy. Wake's done. There's nothing left there. You know, they just can't get a pass rush. Charles Harris, you know, 3rd game in a row he's missed. You can start to look at him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know he's hurt, so, but it's like even when he plays, he does nothing. I mean, they invest so much in that line. Quinn, you know, he's been okay, but, you know, you want more than just okay. It's like they get nothing out of all the money and picks they invest in that line. They get nothing. The linebackers seem a step slow. I don't know if the young guys just aren't reacting fast enough, and that's something to learn in time, or if they're just slow. I don't know, but they're just a little step slow. Bobby McCain, he still looks like he might be hurt some, but the bigger problem is the front office. When you only go into a year with two legitimate cornerbacks, this is what you get. Because when one guy struggles, there's nobody to put in, and everybody's like saying, "Take out McCain. Take who are you going to put in? Tankersley stinks." And Torrey McTyer, you know, nice player, but, you know, he is what he is. He's Torrey McTyer at the end of the day. TJ McDonald, he's starting to struggle some. Mika Fitzpatrick probably should be at safety more. Problem is, who are you going to put at nickel corner? Once again, heads back to the front office. The defense is a mess. And we can sit here and knock Osweiler to the cows come home. And we can sit here and knock this, knock here, and sit here and knock an onside kick call to the cows come home. That's fine. But if you can't stop anybody, it don't matter what the offense does. I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care if he misses a wide-open pass. It ain't going to matter. You got to stop somebody. And that was the story of tonight's game. As we're now, I think, down to about 5 minutes left. They can't stop anybody. So that's what it is.
It is a just utter disaster. And to comment on what you said about, you know, the defense and, you know, and blaming the general managers and things like that, it's baffling to me, you know, where this secondary was 4 weeks ago to where it has fallen to now. And I don't know if everybody's just tired. I don't know if, you know, there's just really bad communication, which it seems like it's really awful communication. Yes. TJ McDonald seems like he's on an island almost every deep throw. He just doesn't seem to be in position where he needs to be. Bobby McCain is burnt off the line by Will Fuller. Where is Rashad Jones? It's up and down side. I mean, it's everywhere, and this team just continues to fall apart. And as you said, this is pretty much it. Matt Burke has to go.
He gotta go. I mean, it's now or the end of the year. He's gone.
He has to go. He has to go. And, you know, yes, I started a little hashtag tonight, Fire Mac Burke. It is on him. He is the coach of the defense. He is not getting his guys to play the way they're supposed to, whether that's a motivation issue or you're just scheming completely wrong. Since the Bengals game, he has not called a good football game at all. It's the time is now. You get rid of Matt Burke. You have to set an example if you're Adam Gase. If you want to keep your job, you need to get rid of the problem. And one of the problems is Matt Burke and this defense. For 3 years, this defense has been underperforming. They have not finished in the top 20 in any of those 3 years in any statistical category. It's time to move on. You got to put somebody else in there, a new voice. It's got to start. Now, tomorrow, you know, maybe when you board the plane, you sit them down and say, this is your last flight on Dolphins One, or whatever they call their plane. This is it. I will say this. For the most part of this game, the one guy to me that stood out of the most was not even on the Dolphins. Yeah, it was J.J. Watt. That guy is a disruptive force. Juwan James had no answer for him at all in this game. They had to chip him with like 14 different players every single down. But, you know, it is what it is at this point. The Dolphins are just in utter disarray. It's a free fall from a 3-0 start. They're now 4-4. Thankfully, they have 10 days off to get some bodies healthy.
They're not going to the playoffs. This is not a playoff team. They're not going to the playoffs. So, I mean, here's the thing. And now you're in that tough spot where, as a fan, it's easy to say, well, just lose them all and let's get a high pick. And I understand as a head coach and as a franchise, that's something you can't do. I understand that. But If the head coach feels safe in his job, and I don't know how safe he feels right now. Maybe he shouldn't feel safe at all. I don't know. If he does feel safe in his job, he does have to think about the big picture. And I know it's tough when you're in the middle of it, mid-October, 4-4. You want to go to the playoffs. You think you got to run in, you, but they got to be. I mean, he's got to be realistic. You know, Tannehill, Osweiler, I don't care which one plays. Neither one of them are any good. So you're not going to, I mean, they're not going to make a run with either guy. The offensive line, you know, it's hit or miss which one you're going to get each week. Some weeks it's okay. Some weeks it's not. Wide receivers are down to virtually nothing. I mean, let's be honest. They're down to nothing at wide receiver. I mean, I'm not saying you got to go out there and try to, quote, unquote, lose on purpose. But if someone's hurt, maybe don't rush them back so much. You know what I mean? It's like, let's sit you an extra week, make sure you're – it's like there are things to do where it's like, I don't know. It's tough because they're not making the playoffs. And in the best interest of this franchise, as a fan, and I'm sure even the people in the front office know, winning games ain't the best thing. They're not going to the playoffs. Well, they're just not. And every time you win, you're sort of just hurting yourself long term. And I know it's tough to root against your own team to lose, and that's not what you want to see. It makes for a long Sunday afternoons, but it's just the fact. They're not going to the playoffs. Even if they did sneak in, you know, they're going to get drilled in the first round. I mean, this team is not a playoff. They can't stop anybody. They don't have a quarterback on their rosters any good. They're not going to the playoffs. So, yes, they got 10 days off, and they'll get some guys a little bit healthier. But like I said to you right before we started recording, you look at the rest of their schedule. Home against the Jets. Maybe they win. I don't know. At the Packers loss. At the Colts loss. They have two games with the Bills. They'll probably split. They're not going to beat the Patriots. They won't beat the Vikings. They won't beat the Jags. You're looking at most. They're going to win one game, maybe two the rest of the way. So that puts you at 6-10 at best. That's the reality of the situation. I hate to say it and be that negative Nancy. That's the reality of the situation. And you got to be honest. This is a 6-10 team at best. And it's going to be real disappointing after you had a 3-0 start to end the year. You know, 5-11 or 6-10, but that's what we're looking at. Unfortunately,
the play of let's start with the quarterback play from tonight. You know, as much as there anyone, and there's already a few people on Twitter saying it's the defense. The quarterback is a low priority. He's not the issue, folks. When it comes down to it, Brock Osweiler is still not a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. and that's why they're going to probably end up going back to Tannehill if his shoulder is worth a damn.
They're going to go back to him. Absolutely, they're going to go back to him.
But the issue, I think one of the bigger issues that came from this game right away, the Texans rebound after the Dolphins put up a very nice drive and score a touchdown on a Kenyon Drake run. It just happens that he throws an interception. I think it was on second down on that drive. He threw the pick. But either way, two plays after the fact, they score a touchdown. The Bears, they intercept him, get it in good field position. They score a touchdown. The Lions, they didn't get an interception from him last week, but the offense couldn't do diddly poo, according to our I forgot the name of that coach for some reason. Mora said they couldn't do diddly poo. The Dolphins offense, yes, they moved the football. Woohoo! They moved the football. They settled for a lot of field goals. They didn't put the ball in the end zone. And once again, Adam Gase calls a play action pass on 4th and inches with a 6'7" quarterback.
Yep, no sense. Makes no sense.
Mind boggling.
He's not even
overthinking everything.
And he's throwing it to a running back who's not even their best pass-catching running back. None of it makes any sense at all. Not one thing about that play made sense. One, you don't sneak it with a 6'7" quarterback. And then if you're going to throw it to your running back, throw it to your best receiving running back, which is Kenyon Drake, not Frank Gore. The entire play makes zero sense. That's why it's tough to defend Gase. I actually like Adam Gase. I think he's going to be a good head coach. I hope it's with Miami. I have a feeling it will be with his next team, unfortunately. I think he's sort of taking his lumps here in Miami, and when he is let go, whether who knows when, his next team is when he's going to have a lot of success, unfortunately, because I don't know how much longer Miami can sort of stick with him. But I think he's actually a bright guy. He will be a good coach. But decisions like this, it's like you're out. I mean, football's not a complicated sport at the end of the day. Fourth and one, you with a 6'7" quarterback, you just have him fall forward. It's not that tough. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's really not that tough. And he calls a, pass to a running back. And even if he caught the pass, Gore, he probably would have been tackled for a loss. It's like none of it would have worked. It makes no sense. It's not the first time he's done it. None of this makes sense. I mean, there is about 1 minute left in this game. Miami's down 42-23. They're going to lose this game probably 42-23 with Osweiler. You have Tannehill. Maybe you lose the game 42-30. It wouldn't have made much of a difference. The problems are on defense. The offense, you know, isn't any good. And they got two quarterbacks who aren't any good. So you can play one who's slightly better or slightly less worse than the other one. Neither one of them are any good. And the one thing they have been able to do with all the injuries on the offensive line is run the ball okay. They're actually running the ball halfway decent. Drake tonight had 58 yards. Frank Gore had 53 at the time I'm recording. I mean, they're okay running the ball. We don't stick with the run enough. And that's and once again, falls to the guy calling the plays. That's the head coach. It's baffling what Adam Gase does sometimes, and it's tough to defend.
There are people that will defend it. I have to deal with it every week on Twitter. It's unbelievable to me that people can still say, "Well, you're talking in hindsight." No, even if they would have picked up that first down right there, I still would have hated the play call from the time that it was ran. Did they get the first down? Nope. Did the rest miss maybe a little bit of a defensive hold? Yes, but you can't blame that. You shouldn't put yourself in a situation where you're going to blame the refs for a no-hold call on the running back coming out of the backfield when you have a 6'7" quarterback that needed to go inches.
You just play the percentages. You just had to play the percentages. Fourth and one with a tall quarterback, just have him fall forward. And you put somebody behind him just to push him forward. It's not that tough. You play the percentages. You play to live another series of downs. We don't do that. We have a head coach who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And I'm not saying he's not a smart guy, but he's probably not the smartest guy in the room. And you don't have to overthink this stuff. You just take the sneak. And there's many examples. I mean, look, we could go on forever. There's many examples here. This game with about 5 seconds left is over, unless the refs called another bad penalty here to stop the game, which I think they did. We can start to break this down. The final score is going to be 42-23. The game just ended. So you want to go through the series real quick here?
Oh, God, you're going to make me do this.
We can fly through it. We can fly through it. We can.
Really? In essence, we know how the initial game started off. The Dolphins had a decent drive to start the game, went for it on fourth and one. They didn't convert, obviously, because we just talked about the play call that happened. And it was a downward spiral from there. The Texans did not put up any points, thankfully, on their opening drive. You know, there's always a little solace that you could put in there, and they didn't put up any points. But the Dolphins did get the ball back, had a nice drive that was capped off by a Kenyon Drake touchdown after a pretty bad call by the officials. We can complain about calls all we want that go against the Dolphins. They had a bad call on that field goal attempt by Jason Sanders to give the Dolphins some life. They did cap it off with that beautiful run by Kenyon Drake. It was a 12-yard run for Kenyon Drake, which gave the Dolphins a 7-0 lead. And immediately after, and I tweeted this out, immediately after a Dolphins touchdown, what typically happens to the defense?
Give it right back.
They give it right back. 9 plays, 75 yards, capped off by a touchdown pass to a touchdown run to Lamar Miller, who absolutely gassed the Dolphins in his quote revenge game against the Dolphins. I don't know if it really was a revenge game, but he was a former Dolphin. His first time playing against them, it seemed like it was a little bit of a revenge game for him. He had a very good game, and the next play after the first quarter ended, Brock Osweiler throws the ball and is intercepted on the play by Reed, Justin Reed, who then, after that, the Texans take two plays to Justin Thomas, Jason Thomas, whoever his name
is. The tight end.
He's the backup tight end, and he is going in for a touchdown. Dolphins go 3-and-out, punt. Texans go 9 plays, 49 yards, punt. Dolphins get a field goal on a 10-play, 61-yard drive that ended in a 37-yard field goal by Matt Burke. I was legitimately just pulling my hair out, Mike, watching Brock Osweiler throw the ball away on 3rd and 5.
I mean, look, it's Brock Osweiler.
In certain situations, I understand the throwaway, but he had an opportunity to tuck the ball and make a play. He didn't. Well,
one thing about Osweiler, he does not like to run with the ball. He does not want to get hit at all. That I will say, he is one guy who does not want to be touched. He does not even look to run the ball. And there's been multiple times in the Chicago game, the Lions game, and now this game, where he's had a wide open field in front of him. He will not tuck it and run at all. So that is not in his game. It's not in his thought process. He will throw it away. He will force a pass, but he will not run the ball. He does not want to get hit. And we're not going to see that out of Brock.
Not at all. So we go into the half. 14-10. After an egregious non-fumble recovery for a touchdown by the Texans, it looked like it was too close to call. But his arm was going forward, but the pass did go backwards. So I guess you could call it either
way. Too many rules. That's all I know. Yeah,
it's a very funny rule. But the Dolphins catch a break going to the locker room at down 14-10, and then of course the Texans take the opening drive and
four touchdowns.
Deshaun Watson to, again, a guy that I've never even heard of who's probably going to get picked up on fantasy squads near you. Thomas, again, scores 2 yards. And on that play, Deshaun Watson does a great job scrambling around, keeping the play alive. The Dolphins had two players bearing down on Deshaun Watson, and I believe it was Jordan Baker started to go towards Deshaun Watson, which left his man wide open, which was Thomas, which cultivated into that 2-yard touchdown. The Dolphins punt down 21-10. The force a 3-and-out for once against the Texans, and they get a touchdown of their own. It was a beautiful, as much as we talk about Adam Gase, he set this play up. It took weeks and weeks and weeks of bubble screens to set this play up, but it was a beautiful play. Danny Amendola to Kenyon Drake for a 28-yard touchdown on the ladder. It was a very nice play, and it was 21-17.
He had hope at this point. There was hope. There was hope.
There's hope. There is a general feeling that the Dolphins have an opportunity to get back in this game if the defense was to make a stop. However, on a 2-play drive, Deshaun Watson to a wide open Will Fuller for 73 yards for the score. And it's 28-17. The Dolphins decide to kick a field goal down 28-17.
That one was okay.
It was a 41-yard kick for Jason Sanders to make it 28-20, but it took 2 plays, 49 yards after a onside kick where the end of the third quarter, and then it was DeAndre Hopkins for 49 yards. So for those of you on Twitter who said, Xavien Howard who, when DeAndre Hopkins quoted that this week, well, DeAndre Hopkins showed up in the second half, folks. Open your mouth too soon. It was 35-20, and then this is where the questionable field goal came into play. Dolphins down 35-20. They decided to kick a field goal, which was good from 46 yards out, instead of going for it on 4th and 4.
Yeah, if you're down 15 or down 12, you're still down. You're still down 2 touchdowns. So I don't get it.
Still down. I don't. Yeah. You could easily get closer if you're down by 15 points. If you can get a touchdown, you're down one score, but you're still down 2 possessions. So I didn't understand that. But either way, after the field goal. It didn't take long. Again, it was DeAndre Hopkins with a touchdown from Deshaun Watson. And then the rest of the game, punt, punt, and then the Dolphins ended the game running out the clock after a four-yard pass to Jakeem Grant. Final score of the game, 42-23. The Dolphins have now dropped four out of their last five games. Real quick on the statistics, Osweiler, 21 of 37, 241 yards, 6.5 yards per attempt, one interception, 65.3 rating. For those who are thinking or believing that Brock Osweiler should be the starter going forward, this game is proof of why that shouldn't be the case.
Well, it all depends if you want to lose out and get the higher pick. Then yes, he should. he should take the beating. Let him take the beating.
At that point, put in David Fields. You got.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. But you can play Brock again. Though I will say this about Osweiler: yes, he wasn't good. He left a lot of plays on the field. It's not like he's replacing Joe Montana here. Ryan Tannehill's last eight quarters were horrible. So, you know, I understand Tannehill is a better player. He'll get the job back when he's healthy enough to play, whether it's against the Jets or whether it's against the Packers, whatever. I get that. But again, if you think Tannehill is going to step in and all of a sudden this team's going to go back to its winning ways, you know, you're sorely mistaken because, A, he don't play defense, and, B, you know, he turns the ball over too. So it's don't expect a magic pill here when Tannehill walks back on the field. Yes, he's better than Brock Osweiler. Nobody's denying that. But again, Osweiler really ain't the reason we lost tonight. Okay, so we got to also keep this in perspective.
And to put it even a little bit more kindly, when it comes down to it, this team is not the 2016 Dolphins.
Oh, not even close.
Not even close. So they came back from a dreadful start to make a run. This team is falling apart at the wrong time. Yes, a lot of injuries are occurring. There are awful injuries. We are losing our best players for a period of time. I 100% get it, but it just seems like each and every week they just find new ways to lose. In the last couple weeks, it has been the defense against the Lions and against the Texans. There's just some glaring problems on that side of the ball. Running the ball today, though, the Dolphins, again, got away from it, I believe, a little too soon. They had 116 yards total on the ground with 4.6 yards per carry. Drake had 58, Gore had 53, and Balazs had 5, averaging 4.6 yards a carry against a very good run defense. This is where I'm going to agitate Mike.
You're not going to agitate me because here's why. Let me just say this, then I'll let you go on your love fest for Devontae Parker. Here's why it's not going to agitate me. Here's why it's not going to agitate me. Because nothing's changed. This is his first good game since 2016. I checked it. It's his first good game since November 13th, 2016. The fact he caught 134 yards, which 30 of which came on one lucky play bounce, changes nothing. Yes, he had a nice night. Doesn't change the fact. He won't be on the team in 2019, and he probably shouldn't be on the team in a week. But we might have to hold on to him all depending on how Stills' groin heals up here. It changes nothing with his future. He had a nice game. 6 catches, 134. Kudos. They still lost by 20. And, you know, it's still one game out of 3 years he played well. Okay? I'm not getting excited over that. Now you can go on about how he's great.
Oh, I'm not going to say how he's great. I just want to say that he played a very good game tonight.
He did.
And I think this kind of is a black eye to Adam Gase because of the game that he played. I think Gase is going to take a little bit of medicine for it from the Miami media of why he didn't play Gase the week or why he didn't play Parker the week before when he was healthy. This is a glimpse. This is what the Dolphins wanted to see from him since they drafted him.
I got a question
for
you.
This is the type of game that you want to see from Devontae Parker. This could be a jumping block. This could be a starting block, for Devontae Parker to start to play potentially to his potential, but also get paid when the Dolphins do release him in the offseason, which is a foregone conclusion at this point. But, you know, good for him. It was a very good game. He made some very good catches.
He did. I have a question for you, though. In this game, if we have Wilson and Stills, does Parker get 9 targets, and does he have a day where he goes 6 for 134?
I guess it goes based on the matchups.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
I don't think he gets 9 targets. I think he can get 4 to 6 in this game, with the amount of injuries, and you know regardless of his injury history and everything, he is still a mismatch for defenses.
He is.
He's very tough to cover. He's very crisp when he does run his routes. Osweiler missed him on that touchdown.
Wide open, yep.
Where he overthrew him wide open. That sucks because that's a play that you need to have back. And that when Adam Gase is showing the film to these guys, most likely Saturday or Sunday, when he's showing the film, Osweiler's going to bang his hand on the desk and just shake his head.
Yep.
That's a throw. You have to connect on that. That's a touchdown easily.
Yep. Those are the plays he left on the field tonight a few times there, Osweiler. Yeah. But at the end of the day here with Parker, again, we're not going to the playoffs this year. And we will get back wide receiver Kenny Stills. If a team is dumb enough to give us a 3rd or a 4th round pick for Devontae Parker, you say yes. I do not care about the rest of this year. The rest of this year for me is glorified exhibition games. Whether we win or lose, and look, we ain't going to win much if we can't stop anybody. We don't need Devontae Parker, okay? We just don't. And the fact he had a great game tonight actually helps us in some way, because maybe there is a team out there who will fall for this fool's gold and say, oh, wow, look at this guy. Maybe he's finally healthy. Maybe, you know, this is it. This is a real Devontae Parker. Good. Give us a higher pick. You give us a pick around 5, 4, 3, whatever. Do it, because holding on to him to play out the next, you know, whatever, 8 games we got left here in meaningless games doesn't help us moving forward. A pick around 4 or 5 or 3, whatever it is, that will help us. That might be a contributor on this team for years to come. Parker has no future. He's got 8 more games here if he can stay healthy. So if a team offers us anything under the sun, you say yes, you ship him off. You can play out these final games with Grant, Amendola, Stills, Leonte Carew, Isaiah. You'll be fine, because we're not going to the playoffs, folks. You don't need Devontae Parker. You don't mortgage your future and hold on to a guy for 8 games just because you got a few injuries at wide receiver. So I'm still all for trading them. I hope there's a team out there that's really stupid. I don't know if there will be, but if they offer us literally anything, I say yes for him.
Well, the Cowboys took some of our thunder by the Cowboys outbidding themselves for Amari Cooper.
They did.
When the highest pick coming back to the Raiders was a 3rd rounder, reportedly, and the Cowboys jumped the gun and kept bidding themselves. It went to a first.
Maybe get a fourth.
A little bit of that thunder went away.
Maybe we get a 4th for him, which if we do, I jump on it. Take it. Take the 4th round pick. Take it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't disagree with you. It was just nice to see Parker have a good game finally.
Yep.
After all the crap, after Sunday's game with his agent, back and forth with the media and all this crap, it was good to see him just go out and play football.
I want to know what his agent says tonight. I hope his agent releases another crazy statement, because I want to hear, after he called the head coach incompetent last week, what does he say this week? The head coach is a genius because he threw my guy the ball? I mean, what does he say? I hope that agent, James Gould, releases a statement, because that would actually be quite entertaining to hear, I think.
I think so, too. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. Please. You know, please send out your stuff.
Someone, please get to him. Whether it's Antoine, Omar, Armando, someone get to James Gould and get a statement from him tonight and see what he's got to say.
Yes, that would be prime time stuff at midnight after this game.
I want to wake up and see a quote.
I do too. So we know the final score, 42-23. At this point, Mike, I've said it. I don't know how many times tonight I said it. Matt Burke has to go.
Yeah, he's got
to go. It is 100% has to happen. He is a issue. He needs to go. And the Dolphins need to just hit the reset button on these 10 days off before they get back to playing football at home against the Jets the following week, where there's a possibility Tannehill might be back. I don't think that will be the case. I think he's going to be out through the bye week.
I do too.
So you're gonna run Brock Osweiler against the Jets, and then in Lambeau Field against the Packers, which the NFL is probably kicking themselves for moving that game to a prime slot of 4:25.
Here's a question for you: if they lose those two games to the Jets and the Packers, you're 4-6, season's over. Why would you play Ryan Tannehill this year and risk him being hurt more? Now, look, we assume at the end of the year Tannehill's probably gone just because of his salary cap number and stuff. But let's take the assumption they're unsure and they might want him back. Maybe he'll take a pay cut. Who knows? Why would you risk running him out there in meaningless games to get hit? Would you? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. At this point, I wouldn't, because you could also use him as – you could trade him to a quarterback-needy team like the Jaguars.
Could.
And get like a 6th or 7th round pick for him.
Maybe I'll trade him to the Raiders.
Hey, let's swap. Let's get Derek Carr for Ryan Tannehill.
I'd probably make that trade. Even though I don't love Carr, I'd probably make it.
Probably. It's gonna be an interesting next couple weeks to see where this thing is going.
Yeah, we'll know on Tannehill probably start next week, because they had him start to throw this week, but not a real football. Just get the motion and throw something light. I think they joked it was a Nerf ball, but it might have actually been a Nerf ball. I'm not quite sure if that was a joke or serious. So we'll probably know early next week what's going on with him. They will call that early next week if he's going to play against the Jets. They won't let that linger, because they don't want to risk getting the NFL even more upset against them. I just saw a stat. This is an amazing stat. Houston's quarterback, Watson, who's playing with, a collapsed lung and bruised ribs. He can't even get on an airplane. Went 16 for 20, only 4 incompletions. He had more touchdowns than incompletions tonight. He threw 5 touchdowns. He only had 4 incompletions. That right there, with a guy with bruised ribs and a collapsed lung, lets you know how bad the defense is. They let a quarterback throw more touchdowns than he had incompletions.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. It's awful. The Dolphins defense gave up 427 total yards in this game, 7.8 yards per play for the Texans. I believe the Lions were about high sevens, low eights per play last week. Am I right on that?
They were. We also had no sacks. That's the Houston's offensive line is worse than Miami's. Miami had 0 sacks. 0 sacks. And from what I remember, with the exception of maybe one play, like in the first half, they really weren't even close to getting a sack. 0 sacks against an offensive line who is missing a guy or two to as well, and is pretty much considered the worst offensive line in football. And they got 0 sacks. This team is in a downward spiral that is it's just fallen. The wheels have fallen off the wagon quick. And I hate being that guy, the negative, overly negative. I know some people, why are you so negative? What's to be positive about? When people say, why are you so negative? Give me something to be positive about. We don't have a quarterback on this roster. Our offensive line stinks, except for Laremy Tunsil. All of our wide receivers are hurt, and we can't stop anybody on defense. Point out the pod. Yes, Jason Sanders had a hell of a game tonight. I guess that's the one thing to be positive about. But when people say, why are you so negative? I don't want to be negative, but tell me the positives. This season has just collapsed after a 3-0 start. Usually when you start 3-0, I think the odds of making the playoffs are like 78% or like 82%. I forget the number. We start off 3-0, and we're going to be lucky to win 5 games this year or 6 games. I mean, it's painful. It's not fun to watch. They got 10 days off, thank God. This Sunday, I don't have to sit through another heartbreaking loss. But it will get worse, folks, because I don't know. Matt Burke has to go. That's clear. If you want to get rid of him now, nobody's going to argue with you. But the logic is he's part of the problem. He made this mess. Let him suffer through it, because nobody you promote to that spot probably will fix the problem either. So you can let him suffer through this. And once again, a lot of this is going to fall on the head coach. I know the injuries, you can't pin on him, but he has his staff. He wanted the staff. This is his staff. He fired a lot of guys at the end of last year. This is his staff. That's number one. And the other part of this is, this is his roster too. And all offseason, in the preseason, when everybody was flipping out on me. Why are we talking about the backup quarterback spot so much? Who cares? If Tannehill goes down, nothing matters. Why are we talking about backup quarterback? Why are we talking about? And we did shows, you know, at the end of the preseason, weeks 3 and 4, you and me, and I did some every day by myself, going, they got to do something. They got to do something. They can't let this sit. There's guys who are about to be cut who are better than Fales and Osweiler. And everyone said it doesn't matter. Well, when Tannehill goes down and you're having a pretty good season, maybe you do. Now maybe your eyes are open. This is why you have to have a better backup quarterback. And you can't have the attitude, well, if he goes down, we stink anyways. Well, you know what? A lot of you said that, and this is what you got. Because if we had a competent backup quarterback, someone who's a little better than Brock Osweiler maybe, you know, I'm not saying we'd be winning these games because, again, the same problems they're on defense, but it gives you a fighting chance at least. And we don't even give ourselves a fighting chance because of the short-sightedness of the head coach, the VP, the general manager. And so next August, if we're sitting here in the same sort of position, maybe the names aren't the same, and I'm sitting there pounding the table, we need better depth of quarterback. We can't go into the air like this. Listen, this is why. Quarterbacks drop in this league like flies. They're just standing back there waiting to get hit. And Tannehill this year, you know, he's on the wrong side of 30, came off a knee injury. Now he's got the – you needed more depth at quarterback. Nobody wanted it. Everyone said, who cares? Well, this is what you get. So a lot of problems here, mainly on defense. Offense is still putting up some points. How and why, I don't know. But they're still putting up points every week in the 20s. I'll give them some credit for that. But they can't stop anybody now on defense, and it's a big problem.
It's a problem that's going to continue until they make changes, figure it out. But hashtag fire Matt Burke. I wanted to
fire
get
Matt
that
Burke,
thing started.
Trade Cam
fire
Wake.
Matt Burke, please.
And trade Wake. Let Wake, this is the end of the road for him. And I'm not saying trade him because I'm mad at him. He did nothing wrong. This is he's an older guy. End of the road. Send him to a team where he's got a chance to maybe get to a playoff game, maybe go far in the playoffs. You know, send him to the Saints, trade him to Green Bay, trade him to Washington. There's got to be a team out there that's going to the playoffs that could, you know, use a guy who can give you 15 snaps a game, rush the passer on third down. There's going to be a team who wants, you know, you're not going to get nothing good in return. You maybe get a fifth or a sixth. Fine, I'll take it. But for him, this is the end of the road for him. He will always be known as a Miami Dolphin. And for the franchise, it's best to move on because we ain't going nowhere. And for him, you know, give him a shot to get a ring. Send him to Minnesota. There's teams that would take him. I know they would. And who would part with a late-round pick. It's smart for both parties. Trade Wake, trade Parker, fire Burke. There's 10 days. If those three things are done by the time the foot hits the football when we play the Jets, then I consider this 10 days a success.
Yes. If the next 10 days, I'm going to take 10 days off too. This team is emotionally draining after, you know, you and I were at the Bears game. We saw that game. That was just an emotionally draining game. And this past Sunday against the Lions was just utterly atrocious. Same thing tonight with the Texans. And look, at the end of the day, the Dolphins are 4-4, which, whoop-de-doo. They started 3-0, but now you're 4-4. So you're only as good as your last game, and the last two games they've stunk. They've got a lot of work to do, a lot of questions at quarterback. There's a lot of things that have to happen over these next 10 days. But I will end on this note. It has to be the first thing is hashtag fire Matt Burke.
Yep.
It's just got to happen. I'm just so sick and tired of watching this defense crumble every single year. You know, maybe Joe Vick can instill a bully, you know, like a bullying gate again or target gate or whatever the hell it is. Get him in there. Joe Vick.
Put some bounties.
Everyone get a pull.
Put some bounties on somebody.
Get those bounties.
Pay to play, baby.
Love the bounties.
Hey, as we wrap up the show, since I didn't give my picks yet for my contest I do every day with the Landon and Jeff show, and I probably won't do a show Friday or Saturday because after tonight I need a few days off. Let me give my three picks. I won't go in depth here. The three picks where I go head-to-head with Landon and Jeff show for a little contest. Give me Chicago -7.5 against the Jets. Give me Detroit minus 3 against Seattle, and give me New England minus 14 against the Bills. So I just want to get that out on the record. So listen to the Landon and Jeff show to get their three picks. Right now we're tied through 7 weeks. So this week somebody will probably take the lead. But those are my three: Chicago, Detroit, and New England.
We can wrap this up. I hope Landon didn't stay up to watch this debacle. I know his bet.
No, he just got. He is a straight A student. He just got his last report card. So hopefully he's in bed preparing for school, because this was not worth watching.
It definitely wasn't. And I was excited for tonight because I had three of my favorite sports teams, and thankfully the Celtics pulled one out of it. But so at least there's one win.
There you go.
That happened, but the most important one did not, is the Dolphins fall to the Texans 42-23. Mike, thank you for coming on to the post game wrap up show.
As always.
And we're going to sign off for a few days.
I'll be back Monday. I'll be back with the Daily Show Monday. There's nothing to talk about this weekend.
Yeah.
I'll be back
We're going to take some days off as we deserve it after watching these last two games. But we'll be back with you guys again Monday with DolphinsTalk.com Daily. Be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and opinions from our great staff at DolphinsTalk.com. Follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Sinbad Sports. We are out. It's time to go to bed. Unfortunately, at 4-4, but we will on to Miami.
That's right. Back to Miami.
On to Miami. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your day. Hope Friday treats you well. And fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.